Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube.
40, 45, 50, he's in open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! It's a one-play drive!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Rough day here in Berea. First time in my 32 years of covering the NFL that I've been fully attached to an NFL team. And I don't mind telling you that the feeling is very different after a regular season game. The first one, of course, was played yesterday. We all know by now how that went, and we all know how we feel about it. I can tell you, again, with this attachment to the team, felt awful. Tough to sleep last night. Tough to get out of bed this morning. And when you walked into work today, at least, and I'm only speaking for me, I'm not going to talk about other people's feelings, but to me there was the palpable sense that it had been a bad day. So it's easy, I know, to take that approach after a game like that, to forget that there are 15 more games to play, that it's just the beginning. And had the Browns won yesterday and won in big fashion, it would have been equally premature to crown them with anything. But still, we're human beings, we have emotions. And mine were, again, pretty down, and it's taken a good portion of this day to sort of reverse that trend. But I'll tell you where the turning point probably came. He's the head coach, Pat Shurmur, and it came when he addressed the media and doing his coaching thing, kind of coaching up the attitude around this place. Take a listen.
The key is the easiest thing to do after this happens, because you're all, you know, you're all disappointed, you know, but the easiest thing to do is get discouraged. You don't do that. And it's also easy to come in and just start hollering and screaming and throwing furniture, and you don't do that either. That's the easy thing to do. The important thing is for the guys to understand their mistakes and then talk about specifically how you're going to correct them, and then you go to work beating the next opponent, because it's a long season. Lots been made of the first game. But places I've been, we've lost the first game or two and still been in the playoffs, you know, and had terrific years. And so I think that's the important piece, is to keep the focus and move on.
Keep the focus and move on. Yeah, I think words of wisdom from Pat Shurmur. I did keep my furniture in place in the office. I tried to keep the yelling and screaming to a minimum. I did a lot of that internally. I don't know if that's healthy or not. But nonetheless, feel your pain. And that's just the way it is. That's the life in the National Football League and pro sports in general. We do have a great show for you. We are going to break down yesterday's game. We're going to have Bernie Kosar in to do that. He'll make the first of his two weekly visits. And then we're going to do the panel, the roundtable discussion with Jimmy Donovan, voice of the Browns. His partner in the booth, Doug Deacon, will join us, as well as Tom Withers from the Associated Press. So thorough analysis there, thorough analysis from Bernie Kosar. And from you, the listener, of course, you participate in many ways in this show. We put up a poll question on the Browns' official Facebook page and asked you which player had the best game in the 27-17 loss to the Bengals. There were some players who actually played well, believe it or not. Joe Hayden, these are the choices. Joe Hayden, DeQuell Jackson, Joshua Cribbs, Muhammad Massaqua. So vote for one of those in the game ball, or player had the best game. And we'll tell you that at the end. During the panel discussion, we'll give you our game ball awards from the four panelists. And also want you to know, Browns fans, that we take your questions via text message now. You just text your question to 78307 to ask Vic, and you may hear your answers during the show. By the way, maybe throw in just your name or initials or something so we know who you are. Check out my takes on the team on ClevelandBrowns.com, Carucci's Corner. Also read the great work by Matt Florjancic. All right, we've got much more coming up. A conversation with Bernie Kosar is ahead on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the value you're looking for at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Lease the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion or Escape for $199 a month. Your choice, 2012 Fusion or Escape for only $199. With outstanding value, quality, and technology, it's no surprise Ford is the best-selling brand in America. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Vinson, Hazel Heights, Brunswick.
Hey Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your ways. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game days. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
Folks, this year, don't fumble your home improvement projects with another company. Hand it off to the winning team at Universal Windows Direct. Since 2002, Universal has been Cleveland's number one pick for quality vinyl replacement windows. And this month, you'll score with their $99 window sale. For every window you buy, get the second window for just $99. Plus, go along with 0% financing for up to 36 months, and you may still be eligible for the 2011 Energy Tax Credit. For a free estimate, call 216-518-8900. With Universal Windows Direct, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske automotive dealership.
ESPN Cleveland's traffic.
Interbelt southbound, it is backing up from Dead Man's Curve to 77. 71 southbound slow, 480 to Snow. 40 westbound slow, West 130th to 71 and Warrensville Center to Broadway. The eastbound side is back in Broadway to Warrensville Center. 271 southbound, you slow from Harvard to Forbes. For the moment, no accidents, no broken down. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850, WKNR traffic.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Today is Let's Move It Monday, brought to you by Cleveland Clinic. Try to get 10,000 steps a day this week and visit Let's Move It. I think I'm up to maybe 9,999. I'm getting there. One more and I've got it. So anyway, go visit letsmoveit.org. to learn more on how to stay active.
Bernie, Bernie, oh yeah, how you can throw.
He joins us every week. Yeah, yeah, he is yeah, the one yeah, and only yeah. Bernie Kosar. Oh, and, baby. Well, there's no dancing around this one. Very tough day at Cleveland Browns Stadium yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I think even though it is 1/16th of the game or of the season, you like to get off with a good start. Everybody puts a lot of emphasis on the first game. Bear in mind, it is only 1/16th of it. But that being said, when you're playing your interstate rival, your division rival, and you have a game like that where the expectation and confidence was really there, and I think we put ourselves in a hole early. You know, starting out with, I think it was 7 penalties for 65 yards in the first quarter.
Yeah.
I think it was 13-0. Fortunately, I think it was a decent job to keep it 13-0, holding them to 2 field goals. They had an opportunity to get a couple of touchdowns early in the game. So to keep it there, and then to get back into it, to be leading 14-13, when we had the ball first and goal inside the 5, and they held us to a field goal to not extend the lead to 8 points, that came back to haunt us.
Yeah, and my sense was that it was very disjointed, that early part of the game. My first thought was, okay, younger players playing with jitters. But the fact is that everybody, old and young, seemed to have, and it's not unusual, wouldn't be the first time, the home team playing its home opening regular season game was maybe a bit more keyed up for it than maybe the opponent in terms of it showing up, those mistakes showing up in the play. And that would even go for the head coach, who's a rookie head coach.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. The adrenaline that was in the stadium yesterday, now granted the 10th anniversary of 9/11,
yeah,
the pregame festivities, the enthusiasm, the with everybody in their seat like it was, the natural enthusiasm and adrenaline that you get with an NFL football game, let alone the home opener, was definitely there yesterday. And I thought Coach Shurmur did a nice job in terms of, look, when you have situations like this and you have games like yesterday, it's easy to point the finger as to say what you did wrong or you did wrong.
Right.
I like the way Coach talked about what he needs to get better.
Sure.
The coaches need to get better and the players need to get better. Everybody needs to look themselves in the mirror after something like that yesterday.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to analyze themselves before they go on to other people. And I think if you do that, you'll see that, you know, maybe Joe Thomas jumping offside, that isn't the norm, and him having a legal procedure penalty like he did yesterday. There's lots of little things like that. It wasn't any one person, but multiple things happening that aggregated up into, you know, that tough, bad first quarter that put us behind the eight ball.
You know, and I mentioned this in the open, that I'm struck. I can't say I'm surprised. I can't say I'm shocked by this. I've been around this too long to have those feelings, 32 years of covering the NFL. But I'm a little bit taken aback by the idea that one game like that in the opening game has led to what I sense is a pretty big avalanche of negative reaction. When I just seeing it in a lot of the either individual feedback I've gotten, what I've heard elsewhere, and a little bit of a woe is me complex that's come out. And I've spent a lot of time in Cleveland. This isn't my first go around here, but I guess what I'm saying here, Bernie, and you, someone who would know this a lot better, but you know, there's too much of the, there's no separation. There is the feeling that what happened yesterday is just a continuation versus a sense that, hey, it happened. 50% of this league is going through bad weekends and opening weekend, but no one really cares about that. The whole focus is, oh yeah, this is just more of the same. And I'm not convinced that that's really true. I didn't like it any more than anyone else, and I've got no explanation to make you feel better about it if you choose to feel bad about it. But it's kind of that level of reaction or slash overreaction to it.
Well, I completely agree with you. I don't want, and as players, first and foremost, players and coaches, you can't have, nor do I think we will have, nor will it set in, that woe is me type attitude. You can't feel sorry for yourself.
No.
It is imperative that players and coaches stick together and work together to get out of this. I mean, the reality is we were one of the oldest teams in the league last year, and we're one of the younger teams in the league this year.
Right.
And with that changing of more youth, I think we are more athletic of a football team, but we are less experienced as a football team. And with a lacking of some experience in some areas, you have them type of issues creep up. And again, it's just not to say I feel good either, definitely not. But the players, it wasn't any one group yesterday. Like, I saw a lot of people getting down on Colt McCoy. I actually thought Colt, you know, made some excellent throws. He had more excellent throws than missed throws, and there wasn't a lot of guys wide open that I said, oh, he missed that throw. So, you know, I think sometimes it's a little too over the top in terms of criticizing particular people a little too much, and I think the players and coaches know that everybody needs to get better. Obviously, nobody was perfect.
Right.
And they need to stick together because they can't succumb to that kind of negative thing that's kind of permeating, I think, around the city right now.
You know, as I looked at that game, and again, I want to say this the right way because you want to be real. You want to be real and realistic about what was there. What was there was not good. The mood in this building, not good. The look on Pat Shurmur's face was exactly the type of look. You know, I thought I was, you know, I saw myself in the mirror, and that's always a frightening thing, but I thought even more so today, and I thought that looks pretty miserable. And then, you know, you see the head coach who has to do something about it besides look it and feel it. But that said, I want to concur with what you just pointed out here. That game had some horrible moments for the Browns. It wasn't, I don't think, horribly played by the Browns. And I think there's a difference, a distinction there. It is, you see what I'm getting? That that breakdown, obviously, on the whatever the communication was that led to that quick snap play, the Peyton Hillis run, so on and so forth, there were moments that were awful. And you mentioned about Colt McCoy, a couple of plays he made. But I'm not forgetting the two touchdown throws. I'm not forgetting some of the other throws that were made. I'm not forgetting some good runs that were made. I'm certainly not forgetting DeQuell Jackson's two sacks or Joe Hayden's multiple. I thought he had a great game.
Well, there's no doubt, and there is a distinction between a horrible game and some bad moments. And some of them, unfortunately, there was too many of the bad moments. But
yeah.
as sometimes bad as some of the moments were or parts of the game were, we still had a chance to come out with a victory yesterday. Josh Cribbs's return, the rookie Little makes a really good block, and
yeah.
They collide into it, or Josh is gone.
It takes out Josh too.
We've talked at length, or at least I have, a lot about the receivers.
Yeah.
Only had six receptions of the 19 catches yesterday. Actually, the big plays. Muhammad Masakwai made one of the big ones, Ben Watson, mm-hmm. on the first touchdown catch. But, there needs to be, at least offensively, everybody kind of stepping up their game, because Colt McCoy made more good plays than not yesterday, and unfortunately he's bearing a lot of the brunt today. And again, I don't think that exactly is fair to a young quarterback like that.
I come away from this game thinking too, Bernie, that, and it will start right at the top, it will start with Pat Shurmur. This test, being a head coach in itself, presents him with tests that he was dealing with from the moment he took the job, and then more specifically from the moment he got his team, once the lockout was over and once he was training. And the measuring of himself and his level of how he handles things and discipline. And, he made some points today that were good about how when execution is bad or in practice, he said, all right, you don't see the guy run a lap, but we have ways of dealing with it. And every indication I've gotten from players on this team is getting on the, quote, bad side of the coach, or crossing that line where you do something that you shouldn't do, that's spelled out pretty clearly, does have ramifications. I don't know what they are, if we're talking fines or whatever they may be. Playing time, yeah. So I'm not going to guess at what it is, but I'll tell you this. I'm not doubting that that's there. So that's one thing. The other thing is the correctable aspect of this and the experience of this coaching staff. I think there's a level of competence enough that leads me to believe that what we saw in terms of bad moments aren't going to multiply going forward. I'm not guaranteeing that the Browns are going to go on some kind of run here to win 10 games. I'm just saying that I think the sloppiness and the mistakes will be minimized going forward, or will be less than what we saw in this first game.
Well, again, any team wants to make their improvements, and the first regular season game at full speed is not the same as those four preseason games, and it's the most these guys have played. I do agree that guys between the first and second game, the early part of the season, opposed to as the season wears on, the level of those type of mistakes are going to diminish. Mm-hmm. Or coach isn't going to play them. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
When it comes to players. It's really a result-oriented production business. And if we're not able to stay on sides, we're not able to line up, if we're not able to get open and beat man coverage, there's somebody else on the team who wants to and is going to try to. And players know that, and the coaches know it. And right now, trying to develop some of the depth and trying to play some players. We played quite a few players yesterday, trying to find guys that deserve to earn that playing time, that want to produce and make plays.
Former Browns quarterback Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When you dealt with a game like this, and in the course of your time and the high times of this team, there weren't many, but you dealt with some of them like this. What was the typical way it was handled afterward?
Well, the biggest thing, and again, it's what you like, as much as things are mortgage, slash, you know, sad, melancholy around here today, as it really should be.
Mortgage. I like that.
It really should be. I mean, you want like guys that really care so much about it that winning and losing, and again, I'm coming from Joplin, Missouri last week. I feel terrible even saying this, but winning and losing a football game is like life and death, and that's not really right in perspective of your life, but that is how it is, and you have to kind of care that much. It's really imperative when you have these tough times as a team and organization that as players and coaches, you work harder, you stay together, you work on your own self and getting yourself better. And by you getting better and making sure you're not the guy making the continuing to make the mistakes that you're producing and getting better and showing that you're working and sticking to the facts of being a better player, that kind of permeates around to the other guys.
You know, and it's something else I mentioned earlier that, you know, this is my first full attachment to a football team in the capacity I'm doing this. And it's from day one, it's had that feel of being part of something from, you know, being part of a team. I mean, in that sense, and something consistent, and the Browns logo, the colors, the spirit, the mindset of the building. So you go through that and then go through what happened yesterday. And it was really hard. I didn't know how, as I mentioned earlier, how it was going to affect me, but it does affect you. And it was funny. Last night, the only real peace was just sleeping. And then you get up and you say, and I said something that I can't say exactly how I'd say it on the air, but I said something to the effect of, oh yeah, lost yesterday, you know, and that carried with you. Now the other part of it is that you try then go into this rationalization that, oh, half the league went through what the Browns went through yesterday. Pittsburgh certainly not feeling much better down there. Look at the Colts, the next opponent. And I thought you could take some solace in that. You really can't, because it's not – that's their pain. That's their issue. This is our pain. This is a Browns-Cleveland thing right now.
And again, this is the culture and the family that's being created around here within the city – within the organization, within the building, within the locker room. And that's healthy. You don't want to feel good about it. You want to care enough where it really matters. And again, that's why within the city or the community, I don't get mad at anybody because I understand and feel their pain. I mean, I say this line a lot. You want to get how you feel on a Monday morning. Your feelings and personality are directly correlated to what happened on Sunday between 1 and 4 o'clock. I mean, that's awesome that everybody cares that much, that what happens during your football game is what kind of declares how you feel. And again,
about everything else.
About everything. and people care enough and want to win bad enough that I think they're willing to do whatever it takes to not have this feeling again.
Yeah. No, that's well put. Bernie Kosar, he joins us twice a week here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Thank you so much. And we'll catch up later in the week. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Quaker Steak and Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping into your local Quaker Steak and Lube, be sure you're getting your best wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
I am Bernie Kosar, and I'm proud to say that I am from Northeast Ohio. Proud to have worn the Cleveland Browns uniform, and proud to have played before the best fans in the world. Likewise, Discount Drug Mart, proud to have served the people of Ohio for over 40 years, offering a wide range of products, convenient locations, and money-saving prices. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns. Remember, Discount Drug Mart saves you the runaround.
You'll find everything you need.
There aren't many careers where you can see fortunes won and legends born every single day. But that's exactly what you get when you work at Horseshoe. We're the world's largest gaming company and the first casino ever to come to Cleveland. And right now, we're hiring for dealer and table game supervisor positions with unlimited advancement opportunities. On top of that, Horseshoe offers great pay, generous benefits, and an action-filled environment. Plus, there's no experience necessary because with over 60 years in the business, we've got all the experience you'll ever need. So apply for a position by September 30th at HorseshoeCleveland.com and join the next great legend to arrive in Cleveland. Because at Horseshoe, we know that what has made us the best of the best isn't just who gambles here, but also who works here. Must be 21 years or older to gamble. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
It's time to kick off the season of savings at Medina Volkswagen Mazda. Ohio's fastest growing VW and Mazda dealer has put together all of the right plays to make sure their game plan makes you a winner. Right now, you can save up to thousands on their roster of fuel efficient 2011 Volkswagens and Mazdas, including the VW Jetta and Mazda 3. Have a vehicle to trade in? Then you've come to the right place. You won't find any trick plays with the team at Medina Volkswagen Mazda. They'll pay more for your vehicle and sell you theirs for less, regardless of your car's make or mileage. It doesn't get much easier than that. With Medina Volkswagen Mazda, you'll never outkick your coverage, making life simple for you and your checkbook. So get out today and visit Medina Volkswagen Mazda on Pearl Road in Medina, or open anytime at MedinaVWMazda.com. Find out why they're Ohio's fastest growing VW and Mazda dealer and experience the Medina Volkswagen Mazda difference.
Back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Folks, this year, don't fumble your home improvement projects with another company. Hand it off to the winning team at Universal Windows Direct. Since 2002, Universal has been Cleveland's number one pick for quality vinyl replacement windows. And this month, you'll score with their $99 window sale. For every window you buy, get the second window for just $99. Plus, go long with 0% financing for up to 36 months, and you may still be eligible for the 2011 Energy Tax Credit. For a free estimate, call 216-518-8900 with Universal Windows Direct. You'll be saying, I love my windows, and I'm saying I love this segment. This is the roundtable. This is where we really drill down into yesterday's game. And the panel convenes or reconvenes because we were together last Friday. The panel, Jimmy Donovan, voice of the Browns, and, of course, partnered on the Browns Radio Network with Doug Deacon and also Tom Withers of the Associated Press. Guys, a lot of places. I guess we could start on this one, but I think the first place to start is didn't go so well for the Browns.
No, I thought, Vic, it was almost like three different games. There was the bad start.
Yeah.
Where all the penalties and the negative plays offensively, and it just seemed like the Bengals were starting every drive on the Browns' 41-yard line. I think they actually their first two, I think they did. Then there was the second game, I thought, where the Browns, wow, they took it over, came from 13 back and took the lead and kind of continued to play really well into the third quarter, but didn't add to it, didn't add to the lead, and let a couple of opportunities and good field position slip away. And then there was the third game, where they got quick snapped and it collapsed at the end. So I thought they were three games, and I think the Browns went 2-1 in those games, and that gets you 0-1 in the NFL.
You know, I talked about this with Bernie. I said I thought there were obviously horrible moments, but was it a horribly played game? Doug, I don't know if it was horribly played from start to finish for the Browns.
No, it wasn't. I mean, the thing you'd like to see is a little more consistency. I mean, they basically had two drives where they moved the ball down the field to score. But other than that, there never was a rhythm, and a lot of that was the penalties, the yardage, and the field position. But, you know, you can see that there are some offensive weapons there, but I think, you know, as you look at the team, it's, you know, how you're going to use them. And, you know, Evan Moore yesterday, I think, was a great matchup against the safeties. Unfortunately, there's a couple passes he wasn't able to haul in. But, you know, I also think, you know, the running game is going to become more important. And we were running the ball pretty effectively for a little bit. And then, you know, all of a sudden when you get behind, you can throw that out the window.
And, Vic, following up on what Jimmy said, it almost reminded me of a preseason game. There were some, you know, young mistakes by a young team. So, yeah, you know, and obviously we're all still talking about the play, the quick snap that the Bengals pulled off in the fourth quarter. So it had a little bit of everything. I think there were some positive moments. I think there were, you know, obviously some teaching things that the Browns coaching staff can build upon this week. So, you know, while it's tough to see 0-1, I think there's some optimism there still.
Did you – let's go to the quick snap play, because that is something that everybody's been talking about all day. As we look at it, I'd like to try to get a feel, now that we've had a chance to see it and see slow motion and replays galore, on how this all really came. Are you satisfied that, you know, Tom, with any feeling here as to how it happened?
Yeah, I think I have a little bit now. You know, it's interesting. I'm sure, you know, Doug and Jimmy can relate. You know, there's such a rhythm to the game, and I know I got kind of caught off guard yesterday, just like CBS and the Browns did. Yeah. You know, I kind of looked up and said, wait a minute, what just happened there? There's got to be a flag on the field. This has got to be coming back. There's no way they could get away with that. I don't think in 40 years of watching the NFL I've ever seen a team get caught that flat.
You know what it was like? The play was like, it's the last play of pregame warm-up, and you're going to make everybody feel good by letting the quarterback just throw a safe ball to the wide receiver, and he's going to run into the end zone, and then we're going to all go in for the pregame talk. That's what it was like. I mean, that was the feeling of what it was like. But I have to say this. Scott Fujita stood in front of his locker today and said, that could have happened to us two or three more times in the game. We were excessively slow coming out of the defensive huddle.
So Doug, are we talking maybe just a communication issue that would naturally fall in line when you're changing a scheme and you still don't quite, everybody still isn't quite on the same page?
Well, I'm not sure if it's that. I think, you know, part of it is just a habit of, you know, being slow to get out to the cover the guys. And I think, you know, obviously Cincinnati saw that the Browns were a little slow a couple times, and they took advantage of it. I mean, it reminds you of the sleeper play, which, you know, Belichick once ran against the Washington Redskins because nobody had scored a touchdown against them in 3 weeks. Right. So, you know, but in that play, you've got to kind of warn the officials what you're doing so, you know, they know. But, I mean, obviously not where the opponent would hear. And the guys have to be inside the 15-yard line when the play happens. So, you know, you got to credit Cincinnati for finding a flaw.
Well, I have to tell you, Vic, you kind of forecast something to Doug and I at halftime when you noticed that Andy Dalton was hurt. And then consequently, you were right, and he had a wrist injury, and he didn't come out and play the second half. And you mentioned, I don't know how I feel about this, because Gradkowski is a veteran guy, and he's kind of done this a couple of times. Yeah. Now, here's what I throw out to my partners here at the table. Would Andy Dalton have seen that and made that call, or was it
great
a veteran
point.
Quarterback
I don't think
that
he ever
saw it.
That play? Yeah,
no,
I think that's a great point.
Yeah,
Jimmy. I think Andy Dalton just wanted to get the snap and hand it off to Cedric Benson as much as he could yesterday.
Yeah,
it's an awareness
thing.
Away from Bill Taylor. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think the other thing that a part of this as well is Dimitri Patterson's ankle injury. Apparently, there was a miscommunication on the sideline whether or not he should have been in the game at all at that point.
Right.
I think Coach Henderson was not sure that he was. You know, he had the right package out there. I know Buster Screen was also still in the huddle. So the one thing you can still tell from the replays is that the Browns do have 12 men in the huddle at that point when the ball is snapped.
Yeah, so there was some uncertainty and maybe indecision with that to deal
with. Still got to cover the guy, right?
Well, yeah, he's still got to cover the guy. Yeah. But also, you kind of said something about the officiating, because they didn't call 12 guys on the field.
No, they didn't.
I mean, the one penalty they called him, Miami.
Would have been the best penalty the Browns got all day.
That's the one we wanted.
Hey, Cincinnati would have declined it. I mean, they called one of Miami yesterday, you know, for being a bad alignment for the kickoff. And everybody right. has to have their foot on the, 25-yard line, you know, and the kicker puts the ball in the thing. He stepped back to ask Bubba Watson, or Bubba Ventrone something, and because he stepped back, they got a 5-yard penalty, and they got the kick again. I mean, there's ticky-tacky things that need to be,
right.
You know.
That mixes in there as well, although, again, I don't think we put anything on the officials in terms of that. Back to the idea that a rookie quarterback, Andy Dalton, would likely – I'm with Tom. I don't think he makes that call. I think it's the veteran presence that a Gretkowski has. And this is what I was worried about when you and I were talking at halftime,
exactly,
Jimmy.
Yeah.
I said, this could be a bad thing because, A, you don't really know – not that they had great knowledge in preparing for Dalton, but they had not – you know, Gretkowski, you have maybe some general knowledge, but, you know, you weren't specifically gearing. And he didn't take any snaps for them, or took very few for the Bengals this week. It was all Dalton's practice.
And here's the other thing, too, Vic. I wonder how it would have played out if Andy Dalton had played the second half and had to take the field position that Gretkowski took early in that third quarter of starting at his 1, his 9, and his 10. Now, he was okay. Dalton was when he was starting at the Browns at the plus 41.
41
yeah. But, I mean, even when it got to be semi a long field, his throws were different.
Yeah, I was impressed with Dalton, I tell you, for the time that we did see him.
He was pretty good,
For a rookie. But, I mean, I think, too, he got some through the Browns doing, the poor punting, the poor, the poor field position that the Browns created for themselves or the favorable in the first half for that kid to gain some confidence. I mean, he was kind of given a little help there. We get some questions via Facebook that are asked of me, but I want to throw them to the whole panel. And I think you might like this one. Lucas asks, did Greg Little cost Josh Cribbs a touchdown by hitting the punter way too hard and taking Cribbs with him?
That's what Pat Shurmur said today. He said he wished he'd, you know, maybe held off or actually made the block a little quicker. I don't think Huber was going to bring down Josh on that play, to be honest with you. So it was probably a block that
Josh
was unnecessary.
Scoring.
But you can't fault Greg Little either, though. I mean, he gets a chance to let a guy up like that, you're going to take it.
No, I mean, if you're going to all of a sudden sit there in a split second, make a decision, you know, you go and you try to smoke the guy if you get the opportunity. And that's what he did. And it was just too good a block.
Now, if it was whether it was Greg Little or Blake Costanzo from last year, you make that block the way that Little made it. I mean, that's a sitting duck. It's a mulligan.
It's a mulligan. Another question from Mike. What should plans be for solidifying the offensive line? The first two preseason games, it looked like it was our strong suit. The line injuries, I mean, it would be my first place to go, but can you do more than believe that you've got a guy, for instance, in Jason Pinkston as a solid starter at one spot? Laval was, in my book, Sean Laval is a sound, solid player. Yeah, he jumped off sides a couple of times, but I don't think I want to, Doug, get rid of a guy from the lineup for that reason and assume that, and then putting O'Neal Cousins in for Tony Pashos. I don't know if I'm not saying that there aren't better alternatives to what they did, but is what they were doing all that bad?
No, I mean, you know, obviously Pat Shurmur was happy with the way Pinkston played, which was kind of a, you don't know what you're going to get. And as far as Laval, he had a couple offsides, but so did Joe Thomas. I don't think we're going to get rid of Joe Thomas.
Exactly.
The question is, you know, with Pinkston, are we losing that outside running game that we had with Steinbach?
Right.
Because, you know, that's where Peyton Hillis got a lot of yards last year. But when, you know, you get him out in space and you get one of those little DBs that has got to come up and tackle him, that's a tough load to do.
Doug, Hillis had people on him so much earlier, and I noticed it yesterday, than he ever did last year when Steinbach was taking him around that left side. Right. So I think Hillis ran as hard as he did last year.
Sure.
Okay? But those runs that were 26 yards last year were all 4 yards yesterday because he was getting people draped on him. They were on his shoulder pads pretty early.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and Deke, you know, I know it was by necessity, but can you rotate linemen like they were doing yesterday? I mean, you know, putting Cousins in and then bringing in Hicks. And
well, I mean, you can rotate two guys at the same position, but I think, you know, they're trying to figure out because, you know, obviously they didn't really have them, you know, in the exhibition season where they were playing. So you've got to find out how they're going to be at, you know, regular speed and, you know, which one's going to be the best fit. You know, I don't know. You'd like to settle on one because for the guard, especially if you got the, you know, a young guard there in Laval, you want some stability at the position, you know, to help out. So you get, you know, it's kind of like the wide receiver things. You know, we run a lot of wide receivers and you don't get the timing down if you're using all the different guys.
Right.
Where if you get, you know, two or three guys, you know, then you build that chemistry.
Okay, we're just rolling up our sleeves and really getting started and digging into this game. Much more coming up with the Roundtable with Donovan, Deacon, Withers, yours truly. We come back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Looking for the best deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than LibertyFord.com. Go online and search Ohio's number one Ford dealer group's large selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Apply for instant credit approval, schedule your next service appointment, learn about special offers, and more. It's all just one click away at LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion Stone.
Quaker Steak and Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping into your local Quaker Steak and Lube, be sure you're getting your Best Wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the Lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your Lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Bet and NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
Have a passion for health and fitness? Rather be in the gym than in office? Change lives by sharing that passion. Stauffenberger College is introducing a new program this fall designed just for you. Personal fitness training. Make your dreams come true. Fall enrollment ends October 14th. Call Stauffenberger College at 440-838-1999 or visit learnwhatyoulove.com. See what everybody's talking about. For information about the college graduation rates, median did, and more, visit learnwhatyoulove.com. Financial aid is available to those who qualify and eligible veterans utilize their Montgomery GI Bill.
Today seems like the world wants everything to be fast. It has to be world record 100 meter dash with a strong tailwind fast. Things need to be so fast we don't even have time for words. OMG, LOL, TTYL. People even rush through the insurance process. Can you quote them? I covered? Maybe. Who knows? It was so fast. What just happened?
At Liberty Mutual, we believe in taking the time to understand your needs so you can get the coverage that's right for you today. Find a local office at libertymutual.com/agents and take the time to speak to an agent about your auto, home, or life insurance today. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Responsibility. What's your policy?
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
Hi, this is Evan Moore, and you are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right. As the tight end said, we're back on Cleveland Browns Daily. It is driven by Liberty Ford, and this segment is brought to you by Madden NFL, which is in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. It is the panel. It is Jimmy Donovan. It is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. And it's also Tom Withers from the Associated Press here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Pat Shurmur, and in handling this as a first-year coach, something like this was going to happen sooner or later.
Right.
It does to every coach in the NFL. It happened to him in his first game. So all eyes really on him to see where you go and how you deal with it from here. Jimmy, what can he do? What are the steps in correcting all this?
I liked his demeanor today. I mean, I really did. I mean, I thought that I like the fact that he said he didn't sleep last night and he had 10 plays in his head that he couldn't get out of his head. And, you know, not necessarily number one was the quick snap play. He's got to get those penalties solved. There's no question about it. As good and as clean a sheet as they had in that first preseason game against the Packers, it started to rack up against them. I mean, it appeared in the Detroit game. It continued in the Philadelphia game. It continued in the Bears game. And they had 10 in the first half yesterday. So that's one thing, I think, coaching-wise. I mean, that's a real blemish for a coach when his team, you know, commits a lot of penalties. He's got to get that gone. That's got to be solved Sunday by Sunday against the Colts.
I agree with Jimmy, too. I liked his demeanor today as well. I thought, you know, he did a nice job in sharing and accepting the responsibility for the gaffe on the play. You know, he said, hey, that's on me, that's on the sideline, that's on the guys in the huddle. That guy cannot be uncovered. So he also said, you know, this is not a day to come in and start throwing furniture around. I mean, players aren't going to respond to that at this level anyway.
No.
You know, they want composure. They want calmness. They want to be taught. So, you know, I think, you know, as I said earlier, I think there are a lot of teaching moments from yesterday, and that, you know, now it's up to this coaching staff to get them ready for Sunday.
Doug? Well, and the thing, you know, they were down by 13-0, and they came back, and they got a hit. So there was some composure. I mean, there is that ability, and he didn't hit a panic button or anything like that. And the thing, I think guys are going to really play hard for Pat Shurmur, and I think the guys are going to feel bad when, you know, it's, you know, not that they don't feel bad when they lose, but there's some coaches that, you know, you say, you know, who cares? You know, now with Pat Shurmur, guys really care about Pat Shurmur because he's a refreshing face.
Yeah, he's a breath of fresh air in many ways. I go back to what you said last Friday. You talked about consistency. You said whatever a coach is, he's got to be consistent. Consistency to Shurmur, as I see him now, the guy I've seen from the very beginning with this job, is that calmer demeanor, is that approach outwardly. Now, it doesn't mean that there isn't some punitive action. He talked about that today in the press conference, if guys screw up, that you don't see them run laps, but they pay a price.
I like the way he handled some of those questions today. You know, I asked him point blank if Richmond McGee had lost his job, and he said, well, I wouldn't say he's lost his job yet, but he's obviously going to be evaluated. So I think there's a refreshing part of that is that he's going to be very, you know, upfront about what's going on. He's not going to hide anything. He can't.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't think he can do the radically different thing. What about the assistant coaches, too? There's a lot of experience on this staff, and I guess I take some solace in the idea or confidence that they will know what to fix. They can identify what went wrong. Dick Geron, a lot of years of experience with a Ray Rhodes, working with him, with Mark Whipple on that offensive side and the other coaches that you have. There's years here of people and credibility, I think, that can, during the course of this week, cut right to the chase and fix things.
Well, I thought on the defensive side, I mean, that's the play we remember, and it doesn't look pretty. I mean, it looks unorganized.
Yeah.
But I thought overall defensively, before that happened, I thought they played really well, and I thought they made adjustments. Like, I thought early in the game, I was thinking Benson might be off and running. They were running left every play, and I think suddenly they did something to stop that. And I thought the Bengals then became very ineffective and very, you know, non-existent offensively. And I think that they really did a pretty good job defensively as a whole. That one play is something that's hard to put a Band-Aid over it. But I thought they did some good
stuff. I agree, Jimmy. And, they did a nice job of getting pressure in the second quarter that they weren't getting early on. You know, field position had a lot to do with getting down 10 and 13 to nothing. I mean, you can't give a team, you know, 40 yards or less on consecutive possessions to start the game. So,
which transitions us to this. So there were some good things. We all agree that there were some positives to take out of this game, including a 17-0 run that the Browns had and leading in the fourth quarter. But we give out game balls on this show. Our folks who listen do the same, and we're going to reveal theirs in the last segment. But right now, I want to get our game ball awards, and let's start with Jim Donovan.
Well, I'm going to give one to Josh Cribbs because I thought the place was really flat and deservedly so. I mean, that stadium needed some excitement, and I thought that kick return of over 50 yards that he took like 9 yards deep got the place going. I thought that he almost won the game then with that return.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought that it was great seeing him cover kicks again because I think he's one of the best, and that's how he got a spot in the NFL initially, by doing that kind of stuff. So I thought he did his deal, and I think it's, you know, he's going to try and fight through this kickoff return role, and I think he's on his way. So I'm going to give him one, and I'm going to give DeQuell Jackson one because it was great, first of all, seeing him play. I wouldn't have cared if he was in the Ignatius Menner game last Friday night. Just to see him play is great, but I thought he played really well. Those are my two.
Doug?
Well, I don't give game balls when you lose. That's the way I was.
That's your policy.
That's the way I was taught.
Okay, you never got one, did you?
Yeah.
Player that way.
And you got a curfew on Thursday and Friday night too, pal. And I think as far as players of the game, I would go with DeQuell Jackson on the defensive side. I thought he was outstanding, and not really being able to detect it during the game, but by Pat Shurmur's remarks today, it sounded like Alex Mack played a pretty good game too. So,
okay. Yeah, I those are all great choices. I'd give one to Bruce Gradkowski too for that play, but we don't want to hand it any more to the Bengals than they already got. But I thought I was fascinated by the touchbacks and the way the game started yesterday. It was three consecutive before Josh said, 109 yards, let's go. And I think I was watching a little bit of the games last night and some of the highlights. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of that. I think guys are going to be taking chances,
it's
whether they're 5 yards deep or more.
Well, Pat made a interesting comment today. He said the back of the end zone is kind of like the front of the end zone now for these guys.
Sure.
But it's not just where you catch it. It's the time that the ball takes to get there.
Correct.
And these guys have a clock. And I think the one that Josh returned was more of a line drive than the other kick.
So you're giving one of the Cribs?
I'll go Cribs and Jackson and Alex Mack again, just like Deke said. Pat Shurmur gave him some glowing remarks today.
My three are going to go to Joe Hayden. I thought he had a spectacular game.
Really
I know, my bad.
Yeah.
That play, that
five breakups.
That quick snap play, he clearly was more looking at a slot guy than the outside, but so be it. I still don't take away from the fact that he had all those breakups. D-Jax, very easy. DeQuell Jackson for his play. And Joshua Cribs, amazing. That was a moment, and I don't know how far this gets, they can build upon this, but I want to say this now, hoping that it means something later. That's a moment where a player took the right thing upon himself. Often coaches will say, when you try to take on too much, it's the worst thing for a team. But at that moment, he knew he had an opportunity. The team needed the literal desperation, make something happen. It's on me, and I can do this, and he just about did it.
That's one of those don't shoot, nice shot. Because when he grabbed it, I tell you what, there were some groans in the press box if this goes wrong, it really could be in trouble.
Sure. Well, I took the opposite.
And I think Josh is one of those guys that, plays with a swagger, and you expect that of him.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, great stuff, as always. Jimmy Donovan, Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. They are the panel joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
ESPN Cleveland's traffic.
Lakeside remains closed between East 9th and West 3rd. Movie filming, St. Clair Superior is your alternate. They're going to be filming there for the next couple of days. You'll still have to deal with that. Overnight work on 77 north and southbound between Miller and Pleasant Valley, working between 7:30 p.m. and 6 a.m. They're doing some guardrail work and some paving work for you. Reminder also that Broadway is now closed permanently between East 9th and East 14th. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850. WKNR traffic.
Get the value you're looking for at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Lease the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion or Escape for $199 a month. Your choice, 2012 Fusion or Escape for only $199. With outstanding value, quality, and technology, it's no surprise Ford is the best-selling brand in America. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Benson, Maple Heights, Brunswick.
Hi, I'm Doug Deacon, and I don't like anything standing in my way of getting me where I'm going. CLE parking is always a big hit with me when I fly. When I'm in a rush, I use the convenient CLE valet service or their outbound taxis to get me on the move. CLE, going places.
Have a passion for health and fitness? Rather be in the gym than in office? Change lives by sharing that passion. Stauffenberger College is introducing a new program this fall designed just for you. Personal fitness training. Make your dreams come true. Fall enrollment ends October 14th. Call Stauffenberger College at 440-838-1999 or visit learnwhatyoulove.com. See what everybody's talking about. For information about the college graduation rates, median debt, and more, visit learnwhatyoulove.com. Financial aid is available to those who qualify and eligible veterans. Utilize the Montgomery DI Bill.
Hey, man, a lot of football this weekend. Want to go tailgating at Buffalo Wild Wings?
Tailgating? What's that?
Glad you asked. Long ago, I dreamed of a place where I could pour cold beer down my face. Now that wish has come true, and I can't wait to invite you. Because I'm going tailgating.
He's going tailgating.
A place where I can... to frown. Cause we're going tailgating, a place where we can watch football all day long.
Let's grab a cold beer.
We're going tailgating all day long.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sport.
Visit the newly remodeled locations in Strongsville and Medina.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. You wouldn't give your money to a door-to-door banker or take medical advice from a door-to-door doctor, so you shouldn't trust a door-to-door home alarm salesman to protect your family. At Alarm Force, we never go door-to-door, and only with Alarm Force you get free live two-way voice, installation, activation, and warranty, and only $25 per month for monitoring.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force!
Ohio's best choice for home security.
Hey, gang, the Roadman Kenny Rota here for Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge on the Bedford Auto Mile. And boy, do they have some great deals for you this month, imported from Detroit for their summer clearance event. You can drive the same car I'm driving, the all-new 2011 Chrysler 200, nicely equipped with 0% APR for up to 72 months while supplies last. Ask for my man Rick Heller. He told me he's got about 60 of these new Chrysler 200s for you to pick from. I'm loving the new Chrysler 200. Sweet-looking car. Oh, yeah. It rides great, has all the new technology you need in a car, and it's affordable. So head on out to Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge at 123 Broadway Avenue on the Bedford Auto Mile and see these deals for yourself. Save on quality cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs at prices you can afford. You'll get a complete car buying experience from the great staff at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge in Bedford. Call the Ganley team right now at 440-232-2121 for more info and tell them the Roadman sent you. See dealer for complete details.
Hi, I'm Doug Deacon, and I don't like anything standing in my way of getting me where I'm going. CLE parking is always a big hit with me when I fly. When I'm in a rush, I use the convenient CLE valet service or their outbound taxis to get me on the move. CLE, going places.
And we truly thank you for spending this portion of your day with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hey, Cleveland Browns single game tickets are going fast, so purchase your tickets before it's too late, including the upcoming Browns-Titans matchup on Sunday, October 2nd at 1 p.m. For more information, you call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today. All right, it's time to deliver the results of our poll question brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. You voted at the Browns official Facebook page. You handed out your game balls. You answered the question of which player from the Browns had the best game in the 27-17 loss to the Bengals. The choices were Joe Hayden, DeQuell Jackson, Joshua Cribbs, or Muhammad Massaqua. 77% of you, and we had a lot of votes. I think it's as much response we had as any vote since the show began, said Joe Hayden. 77% of you, Joe Hayden. So a distant second, obviously. Everybody would be distant from this one. With 11%, Joshua Cribbs. I brought this one up because Joe responded to that one. Hayden did okay, but they wouldn't have gotten anywhere without the help of Josh Cribbs. He's the man. I'm inclined to agree, and then we talked about it in the panel discussion, that Cribbs was a huge factor. But in terms of quality play from start to finish in that game, I thought really Joe was spectacular. Joe's, you know, putting together the kind of year, or beginning of the kind of year, I should say, beginning, it's one game, that could put him in the Pro Bowl when it's all said and done. And, of course, Jimmy Donovan had Cribbs, DeQuell Jackson, Doug Deacon had DeQuell Jackson, Alex Mack, and Tom Withers. These are the guys from the panel, Cribbs, Jackson, Mack, yours truly, Hayden, Jackson, and Cribbs. So those were the game ball distribution. As far as questions go from Ask Vic, this one from Adam from Facebook. Would you consider next week against the Colts a must win? Okay, week two games shouldn't be must wins, just like week one games are. And remember, there was a lot of discussion before this Bengals game that, you know, they had to win it. It was a must win home opportunity. And I'm sure there are those who still feel that way, which made the loss that much harder to swallow. But I'm not going to say a week two game is a must win. I really can't say that, because, you know, it just doesn't do anything. From a must wins are when you're in or out of a postseason. I know a slow start doesn't equate to a run in January of any means, but that's not what we're looking at here. We're looking at a team that's trying to grow its legs, build itself, and get rolling. And I think there's still, I'm not ruling out that happening as we go forward. So important to rebound, and I think they'll play better. But win or lose, I think they play better. All right, we want to thank, of course, Bernie Kosar, the panel. You know that panel of Donovan, Deacon, and Withers. We want to thank Jameer Howerton. We want to thank Kristen Ribelli. We want to thank Dino DiNatale. Talk to you again on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.